If someone should set up a tent outside of town, and when we came to church this morning, nobody was here. They were all out there at the tent doing whatever he was doing out there. Not just here, but every church, everybody in the whole place. All Jerusalem and Judea went out to see John. I think maybe I would be interested in who this guy was. Don't you think? What are you doing out here? In fact, he's doing something so different that the leaders got really excited about this. What is going on? We think that this guy's a fake. If he's announcing somebody coming, and if God's coming, and he didn't tell us, the leaders, then this guy must be a fake. God would tell us first. He'd come here to the temple. Didn't come. I'm reminded of the movie called God, I believe it was. Oh God, oh God. And God decided to come to this town to reach the people. And he didn't come to the preachers. He came to John Denver, who was, said, John, you tell the people. You tell them that I'm here. And John tried to do that, and all the church leaders said, no, no, no. He's supposed to come to us. If God comes, he'll come to us. And this sounds something like that here, because here's John out in the wilderness, away from Jerusalem, on the other side of the Jordan River, and he was doing things that they didn't know what in the world he was doing. So they decided to find out. So they're curious. The Jews are curious about this, and they want to know about his title first. In verse 19, he sends a group of, I'll call them, reporters. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now, who are you? See, that's what they want to know, who you are first, and then probably what you're doing here, and he'll talk about that later. Who are you? Matthew reported he said, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about the Jordan went out to John and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, that caused quite a concern in the Jewish leaders. The temple is the place to confess your sins. The temple is the place to bring your proper offerings and the proper sacrifices for your sin. Here's a guy out in the wilderness trying to do what the church leaders are supposed to be doing. And so they want to know who John was. And they had certain Old Testament prophecies in mind, because they said came out with their questions and answers, their responses, 20 and 21. See, there were two comings of Christ, and John is telling people, Jesus is coming. And they didn't say Jesus, but the Lord is coming. He's here. And the two comings, of course, were in the Old Testament, there was first the Lamb was going to come, Isaiah 53. And then there's also the Lion who's going to come, and that's in various places. He's going to come and deliver them. So which would you rather have? A one who comes and dies, he's a lamb and he's killed? Or do you want one who's going to come and deliver us? Deliver us from Rome, for one thing. And which would you prefer? And that's, I think they majored on the one they preferred. They majored on the coming of Messiah to deliver them. Zechariah 9:9 says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey. They love that one because he's going to come. He's going to deliver us. But then they forgot about Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you're healed. They ignored one place, Isaiah 61, where both comings are right together. And he tells he says, Jesus went into, in Luke, he went into the synagogue, and they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, and he turned it to Isaiah 61, what we call 61 now. And they came to the place where it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and he stopped reading. And he gave it back to the attendant, and he says, today this is fulfilled in your ears, the acceptable year of the Lord, the first coming. And then he apparently, it's not the next one, which is the day of the vengeance of our God. That is not what he's after. Two of them right there together, they chose the one they preferred. So Jesus had to correct two of his followers in Luke 24. Remember, when they, after the death of Christ, after his resurrection, they didn't know where he was. So they left. They went to Emmaus. And Jesus joined them and said, what are you talking about these days? They said, well, have you heard this Jesus of Nazareth? We thought he was going to be the one. And he died. We don't know where he is. We're confused. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Well, two things were in their minds, should have been in their minds. One thing that they saw, they looked for was, here is the one who's coming. He's going to deliver us. He's going to take Rome down. He's going to set up his kingdom. That's what the Old Testament said. And I remember in Revelation chapter 5, John, the Apostle John, there was a book, and the book was, nobody could open the book. Nobody's worthy to open the book. And John was worried about that. And the angel that was standing by him said, oh, there's one who is worthy to open the book. He's going to open it. He said, who is that? He said, it's the Lamb. No, it's the Lion. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, wow, he can open it up. And John said, I looked, and I saw a lamb. The lion's going to open it. No, it's a lamb. Wait, you're both right. It's a lion and a lamb. See? Now, he's the lion and he's the lamb. People were saying, oh, we want the lion. We want the lion. Well, what about the lamb? The lamb is coming too. And Jesus told them to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And I think today I hear about people saying, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Wait a minute. Man is responsible. Man is responsible. There's one God. Only one God. Wait. There are three. Jesus is called God. The Holy Spirit is called God. The Father is called God. What is this? And so you have some people, oh, we believe in only one God. We don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in the Holy Spirit. God, the Father. Wait, what about the others? See, then which are you going to take? If the Bible teaches both, you take both. He is the Lamb. He is the Lion. There is one God. There are three called God. God is sovereign. Man is responsible. It's all there. And if you put the two together, understand God has a connection. Believe it. And this would have solved their problems. It would solve a lot of ours as well. So they said, John, are you the Christ? And John said, I am not the Christ. Five words, note that. Then he said, then are you Elijah? They expected Elijah to come before the Lord comes to put down their enemies. And they were right. John the Baptist, did look like Elijah. You know, he was rough clothing, ate locusts and wild honey. He was looking like Elijah, the prophet. And they said, are you Elijah? No, I am not. Three words, two in the Greek. Then they ask him another question. Are you that prophet? Now, wait, who's that prophet? Well, Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, talking to Moses, like you and among your brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command you, him. So this is a reference to Christ, who is the minister of the new covenant, as Moses was the minister of the old covenant. And they said, are you that prophet? And he said, no. Notice, five words, two words, one word. I don't think he's going to answer any more questions. That's it. No. So the reporters came, got the response now. Now they give one more request. 22 and 23, he says, the question they ask is this. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? And what do you say about yourself? And John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, from Isaiah 40, verse 3, and Malachi 1:3-1. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah has said. That's who he was. That's who he said he was. Well, that's about his title. Who are you? What shall we call you? Then, about his teaching, 24 to 28, he says this. The Jews ask him then, if you're not any of these, why do you baptize? Why do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or that prophet? And John says, I baptize in order to introduce the real baptizer, verses 26 to 28. See, John answered them, I baptize with water. Now, John's water baptism was not to salvation. If you're careful, we'll understand it. John is getting people to be saved. John is not doing that. John had a message. Repent and be baptized. That's his. That is not salvation. John's water baptism was not salvation. It was toward salvation. He was introducing the one who was to come. He pointed them to Jesus. And they needed to be prepared in order to believe on Jesus. Now, the baptism of repentance that John was preaching was a baptism that called the people out to believe, to repent, confess their sins. The sin of the nation. The nation had turned away from God. They didn't know God. All their trappings in the temple had nothing to do with God. God had long since left the temple. And so he was calling them away from the temple. Come and repent of your sin of going away from God, and your personal sin is involved. But come to them And you will escape the wrath of God that's coming on the world, on this nation. So they could receive from John forgiveness of sins as he preached, come, repent of your sins, forgiveness of sins, and receive the Holy Spirit. That's what was necessary. The repentance was necessary to receiving the Holy Spirit. So, like everyone else on the planet, though, in order to receive salvation, they had to believe on Jesus. He was not evident yet. So, John's baptism was one of repentance. Jesus' baptism is a spirit baptism. Looking forward to Pentecost, and beyond that, when the Holy Spirit would baptize believers into the body of Christ. Find that in Acts 2, the Pentecost, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. After that, everyone who believed received the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that he baptized them into the body of Christ. So, at the time of their belief, anybody believes, they're baptized into the body of Christ. And as the verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. So Jesus is going to baptize with the Spirit. John was baptizing with water unto repentance. So what he's saying is, I baptize in water. But he says, there's one who stands among you whom you do not know. He is the one who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. So, John the Baptizer is already here. He's among you, though the Spirit Baptizer is among you. He's here. But though he came after me, he's preferred before me. And I'm not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandal. Now, a little note on that. The loosing of the strap of the sandal was something that you could not even ask a slave to do. That was a very lowly task. And John said, I couldn't even do that. So he was very much lower than the man he's going to introduce. And so then he says these things were done in Bethany, near Jericho, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, so being, it's a place, nobody can find it. We assume that it's over near Jericho. So, that's the curiosity of the Jews. Now, the confession of John. John says, talks about the arrival of Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he announced this proclamation. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he is before me. Now, there's a problem here. Verses 31 and 34. He states the problem in 31. He says, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, therefore I came baptizing with water. John did not know who Jesus was. Did not know that his cousin Jesus was the one that he was supposed to be announcing about. Now, there's a little question there. Remember when when in the other synoptics, John, when Jesus came to John, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. John said, I didn't know who he was. Well, when did he learn? Well, the one who came to me, who sent me, said, When you see the Spirit come upon him as a dove, then you'll know who he is. Well, wait a minute. Jesus is coming to him saying, baptize me. And John said, I don't know whether you're who you are. I am not worthy to be baptized of you. I'm not worthy to baptize you. You ought to be baptizing me. But the baptism hasn't happened yet. The Spirit hasn't come and on him yet. So my question is this. If John didn't know who he was until he saw the dove coming, why did he say, I'm not worthy to baptize you? Some people say that's because he knew Jesus and knew how holy a life he lived. Possible, I suppose. But that comes from the idea that Jesus walked around with a halo on his head, and he was so spiritual in some pseudepigraphal books have him, Jesus was playing with the mud. He made a bird out of the mud, and the bird flew away. Or even away in the manger. I'm critical. I know I'm critical. But the way in the manger said, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Oh, you couldn't imagine that a baby would cry. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He couldn't cry. No, he's also a human. Human babies cry. He cried. Well, and this whole idea that he was, everybody that saw him, oh, he's special. That must be God. No. He didn't look like God. He didn't act like God. Remember from last week? So, I think what he's saying here is, John got a special revelation, a personal revelation, and he saw the Spirit come upon Jesus. And that, he said, oh, that's the one. And from then on, he knew who it was. And when Jesus came, he may have been referring to him in the crowd. There's one standing among you, he says. It may have been that. So what I'm saying to you is he had a special revelation prior to the revelation that he got when, and everybody else got, when he baptized him. So the problem is solved, I think, in that John says, and this, I'm reading it now in light of what I just said. John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one who baptized with the Spirit. So I think that's what he's saying. So John received his special baptism before the public baptism was there. Now, verse 34 says, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Now, the prophesied Davidic king was called God's Son. The kings were called God's Son. David was the Son of God. A Son of God. So, he built a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. 2 Samuel 7:13. So, therefore, the Messiah king is uniquely the Son of God. Not as David was, but a unique Son of God. We talked about this last week on the begotten one. In Psalm 2:7, he says, I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. This is the unique Son of God. Now, in the Gospel of John, no believer is called Son of God. All children of God. Now, that's interesting because they are called sons overcomers are called sons. So to believe on Jesus Christ is to become a child of God. John 1:12. But to be an overcomer, that is to be a son of God, to be one who has an inheritance, that's what sonship is. And you'll find that in Galatians 4, 1 Thessalonians 5, Revelation 21. The sons of God are the overcomers. There are a lot of children of God, and we all need to seek to be overcomers with God. Now, question. Are you a child of God? That's the first question. You cannot be a son of God unless you're a child of God. But then the second question is, are you a son of God? Are you an inheritor? You have an inheritance of God. How do you get an inheritance? By serving the Lord, by living for the Lord, overcoming the world. Then we become sons of God. And as sons of God, inheritors in the kingdom and forever.